Well, good morning, saints. It's my turn again. I haven't been up here since Christmas. Wow, John's been hogging the mic, hasn't he? Well, I guess you know we're still in the book of Exodus. And we will be looking at the fifth commandment this morning to honor your mother and your father. So if you'll turn your Bibles over to Exodus 20. Now we're going to be looking at other texts as well, so just have your Bibles ready. Okay? All right. Well, it was in the early 60s. I hadn't been out of high school long. I had just joined the Army. In fact, I'd finished basic training and jumped school. And a short time later, I got orders transferring me to Germany for 3 years. While I was there, on November the 22nd, 1963, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. Do you remember where you were when that happened? I remember where I was sitting. Now, it was sometime before, perhaps it was after, I really don't remember, that the hippie beatnik movement started and the free love culture began opposing the war in Vietnam. And it was during that time that there was this histrionic change in American attitudes toward authority. An attitude, I believe, that still lingers to this very day. One writer put it, it was the anti-establishment decade, the 60s were. All but the older generations were anti-business, anti-school, but they were especially anti-government and anti-military. I well remember all of that when I was returning home from the war in Vietnam. Neither I nor any veteran, for that matter, received much of a welcome home from anyone other than family members. I wasn't, but many returning American warriors were spat on. They were cursed and called baby killers. I tell you, that was crushing for a returning vet to hear such things. Some of you might remember all of that. Annie Gottlieb, an opinion writer for the New York Times, back in the 80s, identified the 60s in her book, Do You Believe in Magic?, as the generation that destroyed the American family. She said, we might not have been able to tear down the state, which was really our objective, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on it. And we believe that the family was the foundation of the state as well as the collective state of mind. She said, we truly believe that the family had to be torn apart in order to free love, which alone could heal the damage done when the atom was split to release energy. And the first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents. That's what she said. Free love would, of course, be better described as free sex. Now, let me tell you something, saints. There is nothing free about free sex outside the bonds of marriage. It will cost you everything sometimes, but in every instant, it will cost you something. Perhaps one of the most poignant moments of the hippie beatnik movement was on October the 21st, 1967, when 100,000 hippies, liberals, and others marched peacefully on the Pentagon in an attempt to levitate it. I suppose when your brain has been fried on drugs, you think you can oppose anything, even the gravitational law of God. Needless to say, it didn't happen, but it certainly revealed the absurdity of the movement. But their rebellion against authority had done its damage. In our generation, we see the same rebellious attitude, but I think on a more dangerous level, by such groups as Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Black Bloc, and others. They're dangerous in their war on police officers, in their attempt to overthrow authority, or anyone who holds positions of authority for that matter. The USA newspaper today reports that ambush-style killings of police officers were up. Get this now. They were up 167% just last year in 2019. They've gone crazy. Now, I'm going to say something here some folks might not like, but I think they've gone, especially in cities and states run by radical left-wing liberal socialist politicians who have encouraged, I think they've encouraged this kind of disrespect. That's all I'm going to say this political. So would you look with me in verse 12, and we'll examine why this disrespect and this dishonor, one reason I think it's so common in our day. And I believe that it begins at home. That's where I believe it begins. Look at verse 12. What does it say? Honor, read it with me. Should be up there on the wall. What happened to it? Oh! Yeah, I was getting worried. Yeah. Honor your mother and your father, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I'd like you to notice the placement of this commandment. I believe the placement of this commandment shows just how important the family is to God. Let me tell you why. We know that the law was given to Moses on two tablets of stone, right? So how do we know that? Well, because of what Exodus 31:18 says, makes it clear. If you doubt my word, just look up that verse. Now, maybe this means that God provided Moses with two copies of the law. I don't know. I don't think that's the case. But it was customary back then when two parties entered into a covenant. Or it may mean the law was divided into two parts. Tradition says the first four commandments are distinguished from the last six. Isn't that what you've always been taught? I was. The first tablet consists of four commands that govern our response to God, and the second tablet consists of six commandments that govern the way we do what? Treat one another, right? And of course, our human relationship to one another can't be separated from our relationship to God, but there certainly appears to be a distinction. The first four commandments teach us to love God, while the last six teach us to love one another, to love our neighbor. How are we to love our neighbor? Jesus made it clear in Matthew 19:19, we are to love our neighbor, how? As ourselves, exactly. Of course, our love for God must come first, because we can't love God or we can't love one another with an agape love unless we first love God. Right? Right. We can't even begin to keep the last six commandments until we learn how to keep the first four. quote John Calvin, the first foundation of righteousness is the worship of God. Now, when this is overthrown, all the remaining parts of righteousness, like the pieces of a shattered and falling building, are mangled and scattered. Apart from the fear of God, men do not preserve equality and love among themselves. It's impossible. Therefore, we call the worship of God the beginning and foundation of righteousness. If we analyze the Ten Commandments this way, then the second tablet of the law would begin with what? The fifth commandment, to honor your mother and your father, right? Philip Ryken says this is important. He says this is important because in telling us how to treat one another, God starts with our families. As John Durham says in his commentary on Exodus, loving our neighbor starts at home. Just as the relationship with Yahweh is the beginning of the covenant, so this relationship between parents and children is the beginning of society, the inevitable point of departure for every human relationship. This first relationship beyond our relationship with Yahweh, who according to the Old Testament is the giver of life, is the relationship to father and to mother, who together are channels of Yahweh's gift of life. No other human relationship is so fundamental, and none is more important. Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment by posing a rhetorical question. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Well, of course, the answer is presumably not, because the relationship between parent and child is the first and the primary relationship, the beginning of all human society. Under ordinary circumstances, the first people a child knows are who? His parents, right? And God intends the family to be his or her first hospital, first school, first government, and our first church. If we don't respect authority at home, we will not respect it anywhere. Charity really does begin at home. Just as surely as all the laws need to be studied carefully, so does this fifth commandment. So let's unpack this command to see to who it applies and what are the implications of it. The first word is honor. Honor. That's a weighty word, is it not? It is a weighty word. In the Hebrew, the word is kaved, K-A-V-E-D, which means heavy or weighty. The Old Testament uses it for the glory of God or for the weightiness of his divine majesty. Therefore, to honor one's parents is to give them the due weight of their God-given position as your parents. Now, young people, I want you to really listen up. It means to give them the recognition they should receive for their God-given authority. So to honor your parents means to respect, to esteem, to value, and to prize your parents as God's gift to you. Let that sink in. Let that sink in, young people. Now, ordinarily, we say our children are God's gift to us, and they are. But I want you to know that your parents are God's gift of love to you. There's no mistaking about it. Now, to oppose the opposite of honor is what? Dishonor, right? So if the fifth commandment requires us to respect our parents, does it not then forbid us to be disrespectful to them in any way? Indeed it does. If our parents are to be honored, remember honor is a weighted word, then they should never be treated lightly as if the fifth commandment doesn't even matter. I hate to say it, but rebellion and disrespect toward parents has become commonplace. I see it all the time. You spend any time in Walmart, I guarantee you sometime or other you're going to see it happen. I see it all the time. I've heard kids 6 and 7 years old scream at their parents, telling them to shut up. I tell you, saints, the Bible has a deep sense of disgust and loathing for this kind of disrespect. If I or one of my brothers had screamed at my parents to shut up, I wouldn't have been able to sit down for a week. They didn't tolerate it. When I was a young boy, before my teens, I hung out down on Scott Street at the Boys Club. And it was what you call a boys club. It was for boys. It wasn't for girls and boys, it was for boys. And my brother and I, my middle brother and I, were on the swimming team. And we swam naked. We did. That's the way we swam. We didn't think anything about it. Not one thing. Until my brother and I did something that caused my mother to get out her butt buster. Now, people today are scared to leave whelps. But we had whelps on our rear end. And as we were getting ready to swim, of course, you get on the diving platform and you go like this, getting ready. Well, needless to say, our rear ends were as bright as a neon sign. And people were laughing. They didn't put up with it. I can remember when parents would discipline their children in a shopping mall. And no one thought anything about it. But today it's considered child abuse. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should abuse our children in any way or hit them so hard that we leave blisters or bruises. But I am saying that back then, we lived in a different world. We really, really did. A question on the cover of one magazine for teens asked, "Do you really hate your parents?" And one girl's answer was, "Like, who doesn't? Who doesn't?" Then the magazine proceeded to offer advice on how to deal with your detestables. We've gone down the wrong road. The Bible has a deep revulsion for this kind of disrespect, treating it almost with a kind of horror. One writer tells the story about his time as a youth pastor. He said he once took his high school students through the biblical passages that deal with disobedience to parents. He said they discovered that some of the most frightening curses in the Old Testament are reserved for children who rebel against their parents. Here are just two examples. "For everyone who curses his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him," Leviticus 20, verse 9. And then, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastised him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21. That sounds radical, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, so not surprisingly, by the time he finished reading these and many other similar passages, the kids in his youth group sat in stunned silence. Like most young people, they had always assumed that breaking the fifth commandment was part of their job, an ordinary part of growing up. But where God is concerned, listen to me, young people, where God is concerned, dishonoring your parents is one of the most serious sins that you can ever commit. But the context of these two passages is critical to understanding what it means. Taking these two passages by themselves, one could come away with a negative attitude toward God and His Word. In the Leviticus passage, this law is part of a section dealing with egregious sins, sins that would tear a nation and a family apart. The trespass in question was not a casual slip of the tongue curse, but a deep-seated rebellion, an ongoing attitude of hatred that had to be dealt with severely. In other words, the punishment was not for minor infractions, but for determined defiance. Now you might say, well, you know, John, we no longer live under the Old Testament judicial law. And that's true. However, in the Old Testament, the New Testament has a few things to say about it as well. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, Paul says, disobedience to parents is an indication that we are living in the terrible times of the last days. Notice that the fifth commandment includes fathers and mothers. Honor your father and your mother. Other biblical verses make it clear that fathers are responsible for the spiritual leadership of their homes. But that doesn't mean, now listen, young people, that doesn't mean that your mother deserves any less honor than your father does. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. In fact, Leviticus 19:3 mentions mothers first. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. So we see here that God commands children not to take advantage of their mothers, but to give them equal respect. In the ancient world, this command was without parallel. Today, however, Many consider the Bible as patriarchal, especially the Old Testament. But it always strikes the proper balance confronting every culture's structure of sin. Here the Bible insists that mothers should receive just as much honor as fathers. Of course, this part of the fifth commandment obviously rules out same-sex parents. Unless a parent is removed by death, every child is expected to honor both father and mother. This is God's pattern for all people in all places and all times. Now, where there are exceptions, as in the case of orphans, for example, when one parent dies, they are just that, exceptions to the biblical rule. So, why should children respect parents? We couldn't possibly count all the reasons why. Saints, young people, your parents deserve to be honored for the many sacrifices that they make on behalf of you. They do. They deserve to be heard because of their wealth of life's experiences. That's why. There is also the simple fact that keeping the fifth commandment glorifies God. Keeping the fifth commandment glorifies God, which is reason enough in and of itself. Don't you think? I sure do. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It also says that honoring one's parents is the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And these are all good reasons. They're all good reasons for keeping the fifth commandment. But the reason given in the command itself is that honoring our parents is for our own good. It's for your own good, young people. Let's read verse 12 again. Honor your father and your mother. Okay, why? Why should we honor our mothers and our fathers? That your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians 6:2, the Apostle Paul said this, the first commandment is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is intended to give special encouragement to children. God knows how hard it can be to obey our parents. He knows how hard. He also knows that children find it easier to obey when they are promised a reward. So the fifth commandment comes with the promise of long life in God's land. Long life in God's land. Now, this promise had a special meaning to the Israelites. They had just come out of bondage to slavery. They'd just been delivered from that, and God had promised to lead them to a new and a better country, to the promised land. And one way they could assure that they would keep living in the promised land was to honor their fathers and their mothers. It meant a lot to the Israelites. Now, this is what is known. I want you to remember this. This is what is known as a general promise. And it shouldn't be taken as an automatic guarantee that children who obey their parents are going to live to be 90. Nor does it necessarily mean that someone who dies young is guilty of breaking the fifth commandment. For reasons of his greater glory, God sometimes allows people to meet with an untimely end, even if they almost always obeyed their parents. Many providences determine the length of a person's life. But the promise still stands, saints. The promise still stands. Children who honor their parents are promised a long life. That's a great promise. Here it helps to know that when the Bible talks about living long in the land, it isn't simply talking about how old people are when they die. It's not just about that. The expression live long in the land is a Hebrew phrase for the fullness of God's blessings. It means to have an abundant life. Now, I'm not talking name it and claim it by any sense. But anyway, I'm not going in that direction. But this is confirmed that we're having abundant life. It's confirmed in the New Testament. Honor your father and mother that it may what? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Anyone who wants to, as Spock would say, live long. Live long and prosper. Would do well to honor their mothers and their fathers. Now, there's another reason to keep the fifth commandment, which very well may be the most important of all. Parents have a God-given responsibility to teach their children how to know, to serve, and to love God. That's our responsibility. But children will not learn those lessons if they do not respect their parents. So keeping the fifth commandment is essential to God's plan of passing down the faith. It is. Of all the ways children honor their parents, The most important is to listen to what they have to say about God and the way of salvation. Spiritual instructions is the responsibility, not just of the father, but both mother and father. Solomon said it like this: "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teachings. And, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Solomon's words are a commentary on the fifth commandment. He repeats the promise of long life and prosperity, and what does he do? He ties it specifically to biblical teaching at home. This is the heart of the fifth commandment: receiving the gift of life by respecting your parents. Today God commands us to honor our parents because this is how many people first come to know and love Christ. Now, I understand that learning God's plan for the family sometimes brings sadness and disappointment to people who have never had a good family life. So, is a person who hasn't been raised in a Christian home at a spiritual disadvantage? I would say so. In a way, they are, anyhow. In a way, they are. See, we're always damaged by the sins of others, including the sin of parents, and not raising their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But God is gracious. God is gracious, and sometimes He steps in. And by the regenerating, saving work of His Spirit, and at His discretion, He adopts orphan sinners into the best and the most important family of all, the family of God. The Bible gives every child of God this precious promise. Listen, saints. "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." When I lost my dad, it was devastating. When my mother died, I was crushed. When my mother died, I was crushed. I then was an orphan. But you know, God has made me and you a promise that He will be a father to the father. He will be a father to the fatherless. So in order, now I'm, children, I'm through with you. To an extent. In order to make the fullest and best use of the fifth commandment, we need to understand that it's not just for children. It really isn't. It really applies to everyone. Even me. Even no matter how old you are, this still applies to you. Now, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the fifth commandment requireth the preserving, the honor, and the performing the duties belong to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Answer 64. As to why we should honor our mother and our father. Answer 64. In other words, what the Shorter Catechism is saying is this: respecting authority applies to every person in every relationship. Every relationship. When God tells us to respect our parents, He is telling us to respect anyone who has legitimate authority over us. This is something the Israelites would have readily understood because they often use the term father in relationships outside the home. For example, the Israelites referred to their king as their father. Sometimes they use the same title for the prophets, and Israel's elders were honored as the fathers of the people as well. So the Israelites naturally would have applied the fifth commandment to other relationships that involved authority. We should do the same. The fifth commandment rules out, rules our relationship to the government. Here's what the Bible says. Romans, 1 Peter 2:13, I'm sorry. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Today, we don't have a king. We don't have an emperor. Now, but I would say that this means to honor our president, no matter who he is, to give him honor, that we are to honor the representatives of the state. We are to honor police officers. Also, it also means praying for politicians. In some cases, I think we ought to pray that God removes them from office. Many of them have certainly betrayed us. It means obeying the laws of the land and paying your taxes, as hard as that is to hear. I don't like paying taxes. I heard someone talking about their taxes this morning. They're about to come and do, aren't they? In these ways, we are to submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. If everyone understood this like they did in the 1800s, there wouldn't be all this fighting and bickering among people. It is God who puts people in positions of authority over us. The fifth commandment also regulates our work, where we are to respect our bosses. We're to show honor to those that we work for and to show honor to our employers. After telling the children to obey their parents, Paul went on to tell slaves that'd be employers in our culture, or employees. He goes on to tell them to serve their masters, that would be their employers. It was all part of respecting authority. He wrote, "Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Work for your employer as if he were Christ. Know that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or he is free." So keeping the 10th commandment on the job means working hard and speaking well of management. I haven't always obeyed that part of this command. I have to admit, there have been times when I've really, I think it was Bill Gothard that, he was back in the 70s, I think. He really taught hard on this very topic here. And that's one thing I really liked about his teaching. The fifth commandment also requires respect for leaders in the church. Specifically, it requires submission to our pastors and elders. The leaders who serve as our spiritual fathers in the household of God. The scripture says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." Yeah, to honor our elders means to pray for them, to encourage them, to assist them in their efforts for your spiritual growth. It's to accept their counsel and discipline with humility. And here, because this what the scriptures say, obey your leaders and submit to their authority in Hebrews 13. and all these relationships, we should look up to those whom God has placed over us and treat them with honor, obedience, and gratefulness. And we should do this even when those in authority don't seem to deserve your respect. That's hard for some people to embrace. However, listen, I believe the Heidelberg Catechism on this topic is right when it says, listen, I think you'll be able to read it up here. The fifth commandment requires, now listen closely, that I show honor, love, faithfulness to my father and my mother, now get this, and to all those who are set in authority over me, that I submit myself with respectful obedience to their careful instructions and discipline, and that I also bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Answer 104. Now, I don't take this lightly. I consider, I mean, we have an elder board here. I consider myself as one of the elders that I am to live in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the elders of this church. I don't know how many of you know this about our elder board, but our elders don't do much of anything without unanimous approval. If there's a problem with anything, we just shelve it until another time. But I consider that I am myself in submission to the authority of the elder board. I'm not anyone special. Respect for those who are in authority is respect for God, because all authority, it comes from where? It comes from Him, right? Our respect is not based on their personal qualities or professional qualifications, but on the position that they have been given by God. Now, there's another side to all this, which is that people in authority have a responsibility to exercise it in ways that are pleasing to God. We may not abuse our authority by using it harshly or by overstepping our bounds. We are to never use this pulpit as a bully pulpit. We're to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our primary responsibility. Not to beat you over the head with anything. To teach the scriptures expositorily. So we can't abuse our authority by using it harshly or by overstepping our bounds. Nor may we fail to do our duty. We have a responsibility. Leaders in government are to protect their citizens. Pastors and elders are called to serve God's people in the church, not abuse them. And people in management are called to care for their people who work for them. The fifth commandment has a special relevance for fathers and mothers. Our family duties are reciprocal. Okay? If children are supposed to obey their parents, and obviously parents are supposed to give them proper discipline. Proper discipline. The New Testament makes this explicit when it attaches these words to the fifth commandment. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And you might also check out Colossians 3:21. When parents place reasonable demands on their children, when they correct them in anger rather than in love, or when they stunt their growth by stifling their freedom, they abuse their authority. A As parents, we are called to give our children many other things besides proper discipline. We're called to pray for our children. Pray for them. Pray over them. Lay your hands on them and let them hear you praying God's blessings on their lives. They need to hear that. You'd be amazed at the difference it'll make in a child's attitude toward you if they hear you calling on the Creator of the universe to bless your children. We're called to encourage them, to counsel them, protect them, and to provide for their daily needs. We're called to set a godly example. To walk in the faith, not just mouth our faith, live it. Live it. The reason why is that children don't always listen to us, but they never fail to imitate us. We're called to educate them. Preparing them for their life's work, including marriage and parenthood, according to the providences of God. And most importantly of all, if children are commanded to listen to their parents, then we are commanded to teach them the Scriptures and lead them in the worship of God. So we all have our responsibilities. We're all called to keep the commandments, to walk in the commandments. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, that you don't have a plan B. You have one plan. One plan only. And God, that's for us to honor our mothers and our fathers and all those who are in authority over us. God, help us to walk in that truth for our sake and for your glory. Amen.